Blog Talk Radio.
Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the book, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel, Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Alice Amos. She's a licensed mental health counselor, certified hypnotherapist, adjunct faculty member of the National Guild of Hypnotherapists. She has been in practice for over 18 years, specializing in individual, family, and couples therapy, licensed by the state of Florida as a mental health counselor, but certified in hypnotherapy through the National Guild of Hypnotists. Her areas of expertise include general psychotherapy, hypnotherapy, creative arts therapy, and the natural healing arts. Her center offers individual, family, and group therapy sessions, workshops, and retreats to enhance your wellness, peace of mind, and inner growth, and we certainly all need this nowadays. Alice has been teaching hypnosis in private practice workshops and at the National Guild of Hypnotherapists annual conferences. You can find out more at aliceamos.me/P3retreat. That's a retreat that's coming up that she's going to tell us all about. So welcome, Alice.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me today.
And I'm really excited to hear about this wonderful retreat. But before you talk about that, I have a few other kinds of questions to find out about your background. So what is your background and training and prior work experience and life experience that even led you to becoming a psychotherapist and then a hypnotherapist and then creating this powerful workshop?
Wow, that's a mouthful right there.
Give a summary of your background, what you've done.
Great. Well, I went to school here in Boca Raton at Florida Atlantic University and graduated there and went into my internship. I began working in nursing homes, and I started out with art therapy and working with the geriatric population and also interested in hypnosis. I began my certification process through the National Guild and became certified and began to incorporate meditation techniques. So from there, once I finished my internship, received my license, I opened my practice, and I've been practicing here in Boca for 18 years.
Wow, 18 years. And So what is different or unusual about the way that you practice? Well, I know right away, even before you say anything, just using art therapy and hypnosis has to be different than traditional talk therapy. So tell us more about that.
Yes, It's very different from traditional talk therapy. It's really tapping into that area of the brain which stores the memories and the emotions and our creative abilities. It's also tapping into that nonverbal language. So through the expressive arts, through using art therapy techniques and also using meditation techniques, you're able to tap into those emotions and those hidden memories. And it allows the participant or the individual to express themselves without using words.
And do you work with adults or children or both?
All of the above. Children, they're great to work with. I love working with kids and adults, couples, families.
And so how do you use art therapy with adults? Are they open to it? Do they have resistance?
Well, the most common remark I get is, I'm not an artist. And I say, perfect. Because I don't want to train a pretty picture. I want something that a three-year-old will create with crayons. It's pure emotion coming onto the page. And we begin by using scribbles. And through the scribbles, information comes out from that. Symbols come out from that. And then it grows into more, you know, projects. So it really depends on why the person is coming in and what's stuck. So it helps to, you know, kind of break that up and bring it to the surface so we can work with it.
You mentioned something that you work with scribbles and then you create projects. What do you mean by that?
Well, it will have a theme and they would go home and create a project, an art project. So it could be a collage or a painting or a sculpture with found objects. It you know, it's unlimited what the mind can create.
So can you give an example of a theme? This is interesting to me, and I'm sure people listening would be curious. But what's a sample of type of theme and what kind of project might that person create from it?
Okay, so thinking of a project, it's called the inside-outside self. So anyone with depression or anxieties or fears or even some self-esteem, self-worth issues, it's creating a box. And on the outside of the box is how you present yourself to the world, what people see on the outside. And then on the inside of the box is what is truly on the inside that you hide from the world. And what comes in is so fascinating. I've had boxes that were like ring-size boxes, and I've had boxes that were like shipping boxes. And
you just
leave it up to them, and the instructions are very simple, very basic, you know, exactly what I just mentioned, and it's go home and create. And then their next session, they'll come in with their box and present it.
Wow. So they don't do it all in the office. They do it at home.
It's
really
a combination.
Engaged.
Some things we can do here and some things are done at home. So what's done in the office is, you know, I have a box of crayons and paper. So we'll do more of the scribble type drawings in the office. But at home is when they get their full projects and give it thought and, you know, begin the creating process.
And what happens when they bring the project in and you look at it?
Well, they present it and they talk about it. They talk about the process. They talk about, you know, what they created. They talk about any feelings that came up as a result and what they discovered about themselves as a result of doing the project. And each project is their symbolic language. So I don't interpret the projects. I listen to how they describe it, the emotions that are attached to it, and it gives me insight into their symbolic language.
Now, that's very important, what you just said, because I do a type of mind-body therapy where someone lies on a massage table and they receive gentle body work to help the body relax, and then issues come up. They might talk about an image they see. and I don't tell them what I see. I let it come from them. But there are many that do different kinds of body work or counseling, and they tell the person, like there are types of body work where they look at the structure of the person and they tell them, you have this structure, and therefore that means if your shoulders are this way, it means this, and if your back is this way, it means that. And it's so much better when it comes from the person in their language.
Right, because that's how the brain is storing the information. It's all stored in, you know, symbolism, in metaphor. So when we dream, it's our symbolic language that's coming forth. So
it sounds like the work that you're doing with the symbolic. So how do you incorporate the hypnotherapy into the creative projects? Is it together? Is it the same time? Is it separate?
Sometimes it's together, not at the same time, obviously, if you're in hypnosis, but I'll take the art form, or sometimes the art form will come after the meditation. For example, a healing process to transform energy. Let's say I'm holding on to the anger. So through meditation, I have the person go in and go to the place where you're storing the anger. What does it look like? What does it feel like? You know, does it have a voice? Does it have a temperature? And they can see it in the meditation state or the hypnotic state. Then they come out of the process and they draw what they saw. So then I bring them back into meditation and I ask them to transform it. So take what you saw and bring healing in, bring light in. And I ask them, you know, what can you bring in to transform, you know, this image to where it feels healthy, to where it feels happy or joyful, whatever their goal is. And they transform it in the hypnotic state and then clear it.
Mm. And how long does this take? Does this happen in one session? Does it take a while for them to feel safe enough to?
It depends on the individual. Some are very open and they're ready. That's an exercise that I do in a workshop, and it's usually done towards the end of the day. And it really depends on the individual. Some are very protective, and you just can't go past the, you know, what I call the guard at the door. But there's ways around that.
Well, it can be very fearful, because if you go, for some people, if they've had a lot of trauma or they're afraid that you're going to open up something and they're going to have a nervous breakdown, so it can be very frightening.
Right, and the mind is extremely protective, and it will keep something stored and locked for, you know, and until the mind feels that it's safe enough to unlock it. And sometimes you need to peel it away in stages until you get to that pit, the core of it. But the mind will let you know when it's ready.
Right, that's why when you do these projects and you're also doing the meditations, you're giving that person time. You're letting them, you know, express again and again. So you also have studied some natural healing arts. Tell about that.
Yeah. Well, I also, with the hypnosis, use different aromas. And as you know, I believe you know, that different aromas will create a response. Some will help release. Some will help transform. So it's just using the aromas with the meditation and guiding the person.
That sounds beautiful. Yeah. So there's assistance. Well, what it is that we are all energy. We have energy and it gets affected, and there's subtle energy and we don't always realize that.
Right.
So
right.
The aromas can really help. So this is just exciting work. And so what kind of results do you find as you work with people with all these methods?
Well, I steer the methods towards the person and what they're open and receptive to. And, you know, so with the different modalities, you know, maybe hypnosis doesn't work for this person, but the art does, or maybe the aromas don't work, but, you know, the hypnosis does, or maybe they just need supportive therapy, where traditional talk therapy is, you know, their preferred method. So I really work with the individual, and I can go many different ways. So, but, you know, it's to benefit them and their healing.
Well, what I like about what you're doing is that you're qualified as a therapist. You're trained and you have the supervision and the background
Yes.
and the continuing education, so that if a particular technique does not work well, you have the traditional talk therapy and you understand it.
Right, and also if something gets triggered in hypnosis, that opens up, I'm trained to know how to work with whatever pops up.
So right.
So that's the difference between a licensed professional and someone that's just certified.
Well, you mean just certified in hypnosis, for example.
In hypnosis,
I have also
correct.
Seen that with body therapy. Someone might be a physical therapist or a chiropractor, and they train in something that I've trained in, somato-emotional release, which is connected
mm-hmm.
to craniosacral therapy, and they do not understand the therapeutic process.
Right.
They may push someone too much. You know, so I've seen some things that I consider damaging
yes.
you know, in the process.
And
so it's beautiful that you're incorporating this additional work with a framework of knowledge and therapy.
Yes. It's a healthy approach.
Right, and it's a healthy approach, right. You're allowing it
yeah.
to come from the person.
Mm-hmm.
So you've done all this work using all these wonderful forms and techniques. So what led to your creating retreats now? And what's the goal for that?
It you know, as you said in your intro, it's creating the dream, it creating the passion. And I just saw what I was doing in the office. I just saw it expanding into workshops. So I began doing art therapy groups and then one day workshops and then the meditation and, you know, also teaching at the Guild, teaching hypnotic techniques. It just kept expanding. And then I went to a personal development retreat or a weekend and was introduced to this type of work and got interested and, you know, sought out teachers and mentors. And I discovered P3 in Orlando. And the founder is Vicki O'Grady. And I was introduced to her work and her passion and just fell in love with it. And I actually bought my center from Vicki O'Grady, and P3 was born in, you know, down south. So, and I, you know, opened my center and I put myself into it and I created Purpose, Passion, and Peace, and because that's really my method of teaching. It's a passionate. It's about my passion, but also the goal of going into that peace, you know, finding that peace, that joy.
All right, so let's just backtrack and maybe define it a little bit better. Like, what is purpose?
Well, the purpose is the intent. You know, it's that's really what it is. It's the intent. You know, I have a purpose. I am of purpose. I am of worth. And I prefer to call it person.
For the particular situations or for your life or for your relationship?
All of the above, for your life. And it's all about empowering the person. So creating your purpose, it's, you know, giving life to your dream, which is what I did when I opened P3. It's giving life to my dream. So
right.
I have purpose.
Well, so many people are not living their dream.
Right.
Their dream, or listening to other people's ideas of what their dream should be.
Right.
So
to get caught up in that.
Yeah, the first part is giving life to your dream, finding your purpose. They talk a lot about that in marketing, but it's just a basic need in life. You know, not it's for everything. You need to know the purpose of your relationship if you're in a relationship.
Right.
Okay, and then passion. What are you looking for in the passion?
The passion is, you know, the way I see it, is the soul. It's coming from a compassionate place. As you talked earlier, you know, there are different places you can go, and, you know, you open yourself up, and maybe you're judged or criticized or put down, or, you know, your shoulders lower than the other one, or, you know, you're too tall, you're too short. So we're often criticized, or we criticize ourselves. So the passion is coming from compassion and that place of being, you know, non-judgmental. And it's that unconditional love that we look for.
Yeah, you're pointing out something, that it's very hard to stay, to keep your passion when you're feeling judged and criticized. You know,
correct.
If you've ever gone into a situation where you're all excited and passionate and somebody poo-poos it and puts it down, it doesn't take long before you lose your passion.
Right.
So,
and one thing you'll find in the retreat is you're surrounded by people who are there to just support you and to love you unconditionally in a non-judgmental, non-critical way. So, you know, it's a safe place. It's a safe environment where you can be exactly who you are and not feel judged or criticized. Just totally accepted.
So what happens if you find someone in the group being judgmental or critical?
Well, I talk to them. If it's a new person coming in, I'll talk with them. If it's, we have assistants that come back. Once you graduate from the course, we invite assistants to come back to be of support for the new students coming through. And usually they get a feel of the style, the environment. But if someone is being overly critical or judgmental, I'll sit with them and kind of talk about the, you know, what's coming up for them that, you know, they're being critical or judgmental. So I'll work with what's coming up.
But you are pointing out that you're setting an environment and setting a tone. So even someone who might naturally be more critical would tend to have more compassion because they're surrounded by
right.
it.
Right. It kind of happens. But every once in a while, you'll get one person that's getting triggered, and that's their method of defense, is to criticize or blame or judge. So,
or as stuff is coming up for them, they're not used to facing it. So they have to.
Exactly.
All right, so the last part is peace. So what is that?
And peace is the ultimate empowerment. It's being in that place of peace where you are gentle with yourself, compassionate with yourself. You're in that place of peace and serenity. It's a place of freedom. So,
freedom in what way? Maybe just explain a little bit better.
Freedom of feeling not good enough. Freedom of feeling that I can't be myself. Freedom of, you know, maybe I'm too tall or too short. And you know, it's that total acceptance of this is me. So it's freedom of the judgment and the criticism. Freedom of looking outside for love when love is within me. So it's that place of peace.
Could use that part more than anything, that inner peace.
Yes.
This workshop sounds beautiful. So what happens during the retreat? How do you accomplish all that? How do you get them to focus on their purpose, passion, and peace?
Well, we begin by just introducing the concepts. You know, it's a basic roadmap, and I don't want to give too much away, but
sure,
I diagram a roadmap, and it's not only is it a roadmap for the weekend, but it's also a roadmap for life. And it's just a simple diagram, because remember, our brain stores symbols. So it's a quick diagram that you can reflect back to. And, you know, I leave it up the whole weekend. So as we're working with each individual, each new student, and helping them, you know, explore their belief systems, you know, where they feel stuck, and it's moving through the different emotions that are stuck, and helping them, you know, move through it. So it's kind of in a nutshell. So there's the dumping of the old, but there's also filling up on that, you know, beautiful piece. So
an important part of this is dumping some of the old beliefs
mm-hmm.
and old ways of thinking and being.
Yes. So
or at least
various exercises.
Beginning to let go of that stuff.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's a 20-hour, you know, weekend. So you're going to shake some stuff up, but we encourage people, you know, we'll tell a new student, you know, the first part is being a student, but the second part of your work is really coming back to assist, because you see it through different eyes, and it's a totally different experience. And each time you come back, you move through another emotion or another block or another belief, and you just keep continuing to peel that onion until you get down to that core and really release.
Right, it's a process to release. People think
it's a process.
One time you go for just a couple of sessions in therapy, it's all a process.
Right.
So it sounds like a beautiful workshop, and a lot of people could benefit from it. So how can our listeners learn more about you and about this workshop?
Well, our workshop coming up is June 12th through the 14th in Boca Raton. And you can contact me through my website, which is aliceamos.me. And if you're interested in the P3 retreat, it's just /P3 retreat. You can give our office a call. P3 has its own separate phone number. Did you want me to give that out? Or
give the number. And also I want to say that aliceamos.me/P3retreat is listed on this page. So when they go to listen to the replay of the interview, they will see that.
Great. And all the information is there, all the contact information. You can go through the
number,
website. There's all kinds of...
But give the phone number anyway. It's not listed on this.
Okay, so the P3 phone number is 561-440-4049.
Okay, just repeat it.
561-440-4049.
Okay. Alice, this is just wonderful. And before we end, is there something you would like to say to people, like some little message about the power of this work, you know?
It really comes from loving yourself first, you know, and that's the first thing that bubbled up when you asked the question. So that's the message. Love yourself first. You're worth it.
And you're worth it, that part.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's delightful, Alice, to find out more in more detail what you do and how you work with people, and it's beautiful. It's unusual.
Thank you so much.
You really can get deep inside and help people to heal. So
thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
You're most welcome. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and Be Healthy. Contact me at drericagoodstone.com for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses. Hire me to speak at your next event. Check out my books at amazon.com and smashwords.com and look for an update about my 30-day love challenge. Goodbye for now.